Hello?
Hi.
Hi. This is John Sex calling from Redwood City, California.
Oh, hi.
How are you? I couldn't be better. I'm so happy. So happy.
That's wonderful.
This is the happiest experience of my life. I love you guys. Love you.
Oh, I'm so glad. You know, I'm really glad because in the first attunement, when it went, it went so beautifully. It went so beautifully, and it was kind of exciting, you know, because this one was quite different from the Cyrus, because this is actually, you know, the energy of the Cosmic Mother and the energy of the Earth Mother being anchored, you know, which is a little bit more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And makes people sleep. A lot of people just sleep and wake up.
That was interesting. In the Cyrus, a lot of people were really charged up and fired up and bouncing off
sleep.
The walls.
And it's like, what did you do? I can sleep.
And then the second one, it's like it put everyone to sleep, and we're like,
Oh, I loved it. The mother is just so. I mean, it's everything to me. So I feel so fulfilled. I feel like I'm in the womb, you know, maybe floating in the placenta. That sounds gross maybe, but I just feel...
No, we understand.
We understand. It doesn't sound gross at all. And it went, you know, completely, it's like, I didn't receive it. Oh, my God. It was so smooth. Because some of them is like, we can feel when a person moves.
Mm-hmm.
In the other side, I know it sounds crazy.
No.
And then it's like, it doesn't go. Okay, come here. Come back. hear me. Look at my eyes. And I'm like, keep focus. And it was like incredible. And when he was like, wow, she didn't receive it. Oh man, how come? You know, maybe just have to wait for the energy to be properly absorbed.
Well, it's a lot of codes. It is interesting. It's each body, and welcome to the other person that joined us. We're going to be talking for a few minutes on completely unrelated topics, and then we'll get into the angels to give people a chance to arrive. But what I was saying is it depending on the individual and the attunement, oftentimes it filters in over a period of time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it tends to go in 7 day in 7 day intervals. For instance, you know, some will be, you know, 3 times 7 or 21 days. Some will be 7 days, or you'll feel it more profound. It's still doing it through the 21 days, but you don't really notice it quite so much. And
mm-hmm.
others seem to be, and it's interesting, it's like it'll go through the different chakras, you know, as you go during this 7 day period. And you can, if you're good at recording dreams and things like that, and especially if you do lucid dreaming, you can, it's interesting to identify the dream with the chakra and say, oh, you're on day such and such.
Oh, wow.
So you see, the interesting thing is that this part, it's the second stage, because Cyrus was more, I would say, a male, divine, masculine attunement. But Cyrus actually is the energy of the sun. I mean, not the mother, father, but the son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaker, it brought the code of the mother, which actually, you know, the earthly mother and the cosmic mother. So you were able to get the seed from the sun, really, and install the embryo of Christ consciousness and go to another stage. But the funny thing about it is, like, as we worked with the chakras, and one of the biggest exercise was actually the collapsing of the chakras, and
mm-hmm.
why we should collapse the spaces between them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it is the building of the internal, you know, Antakarana as a column of light.
Mm-hmm.
You need, usually people have little puny chakras.
Your chakras tend to be small.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, I know everybody, there's a lot of people out there suffering with, you know, chakra envy. And you know, there's a lot of discussion over whether the size of the chakra really matters, you know, or it's how you use it. But I'm sorry. It's spirituality is a serious topic, but we can't take ourselves too seriously, or
right.
we would all be sitting on mountaintops.
Exactly.
And it's cold up there.
Very cold.
But it's what we want to do, and the purpose of this, and as we build our Antikrun, and we touch on this in some of the e-books associated, for instance, Awakening the Internal Divine Stars, is what we're looking at doing is, and think about this a little bit different. Chakras tend to, you see the energy vortex coming out the front and the back of the body, except for the crown chakra and the root chakra, which are going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, they're going towards the Earth star below and the soul star above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is your next line out, which is part of your Hara line. But the others are focusing in and out. And what we want to do is we actually, starting with the heart, we want to turn these. So you
first we want to pump it up.
Well, it's got to be pumped up.
You have to be pumped up because
we want to pump you up.
The thing when you pump up the chakra, you have more resistance and more capability to actually process light. Mm-hmm. If you look at peony chakras in huge spaces between them, if you have like an emotional challenge, it comes and hits energetically you straightforward. And the chakras cannot handle. And they provoke the waves.
Think of it as a hole in your defense. You know, this is where things come in, and this is where karmic debris and bad energy and
false thoughts, energy vampires, all sorts of things, accumulate.
They accumulate and they go into those spaces. So what we do is we build up the chakras, we pump up the volume, so to speak. And then what we start to do is...
you progressively collapse the space between them.
And once you do that, you can start rotating these things. Now, if you think about this, when they're all rotated vertically, in line with each other, you literally have a column of light.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And if you think about this, this is the secret
of ascension.
Of ascension. Because it goes up, not out.
Exactly. Most of the chakras are from 1 to 2 inches outside your physical body. What we want when you clean up the debris in the center, you know, slowly but surely, the chakras try to start retrieving and going inside of your auric field, inside of your physical body. And this is the first step. The second step is to pump it up, all of them, to really be able to absorb the light. Then you collapse the space. And then progressively you turn them from, how do you call it, a 90 degree...
horizontal to vertical.
Just a vertical.
Mm-hmm,
so when you do that, this is the secret of ascension. When you can activate your Merkaba, you can do time traveling, you can do manifestation,
that stuff you hear about,
you don't give the secret. It's not really just happy thoughts.
Okay, but we've got. I think we're into it far enough. We've got some people that are here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to pause, take a deep breath, and cause so I'll have a nice place to cut this for the recording, and then we'll start talking about the class this evening, and then afterwards, if we get into more questions, we can it's kind of like whatever you want to talk about. We're pretty easy on.
Should we mute ourselves?
No. I don't think so. It doesn't sound like we've got as many people. We certainly don't have as many people as in the first course. We never do. The first course the first class in any course we open up to everybody, and it tends to be a bit of a zoo. But afterwards, it's the people in that are participating with the university that are serious about wanting to continue on, and so it's a smaller thing, and we like to have it in conversation mode. So if someone has a question as we're going along, they can ask, and we can get into that. Now, if you're in a noisy environment, when we do the meditation at the end, we'll get you to mute yourself. But that's only, I mean, you guys know, what your environment is.
Sure.
So, but we'll get into that as we get to it. So let me take a pause for station identification or whatever, and then we'll start off. So, okay, everyone, here we go. Good evening, everybody. This is Christopher Buck.
And Yanni Leger.
And we are here this evening. We're discussing the second class in the e-course, Angels, Embodiments of the Divine. and tonight will be sort of a roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
We're going to cover a couple of interesting topics on angels and the similarities and dissimilarities between the Devic realm.
Yeah, the Devic realm and the angelic realm.
And then we'll be doing an empowerment this evening called Activating the Angels of the Heart, which I think you guys will very much enjoy. And, by the way, it is online right now, both in the Online Resource Center under the Angels section and also on the Entombments and Empowerments. So you can print this out later for your own use.
Yeah, but the empowerment will be given during this meditation, yes. So it's open.
So it's open. Leonie, why don't you tell us what a diva is?
Oh, a deva.
Well.
No, it's not a diva.
Well, you're the diva of devas.
Whatever.
Okay.
So, now, anyhow, one of the things that we try to bring about is the knowledge of the, I would say, the ancient wisdom. We prefer to say and classify this as ancient wisdom because it really doesn't belong to a structured religion, or it's not property of one people or one civilization only. So we prefer to bring some elements that are common of all those ancient civilizations and classify them as ancient knowledge.
It really is fascinating as you study and explore the different cultures and the different religions throughout history, how much material is similar. And angels is a very good example of it. Every religion has angels. Now, they define them a little bit differently. They say they have different functions or characteristics, but they all have angels. No matter where you go in the world, no matter what religion and what civilization, they all have a version of an angel.
But our topic of discussion tonight is the difference between the Devic kingdom of evolution and the angelic kingdom of evolution, because there are certain points that both of those kingdoms touch. So what is the biggest difference between an angelic being and a Devic being? Well, you go back. Some people don't believe, or some people have a certain resistance to believe that there were once entire civilization that got wiped out of the planet Earth called Atlantis, and another one called Lemuria, both of them being part of a bigger continent called Mu. But what happened in that time period, it's vital to understand why most of us are here now and suffering from not only diverse maladies that encompasses not only spiritual sufferings but physical sufferings as well. And the time of what it's said by tradition that, you know, God creates in different levels of and manifests himself in different levels of consciousness, and in order to express, I would say, the riches of his mind or the riches of his dreams, like the Hindu people would just say, when God creates, he dreams of something. So we are all fruits of the dreams of God, which is a kind of poetic image of being, you know, part of a dream of one true God or one source. But when he creates different levels of consciousness, and each one of those levels of consciousness has a purpose. So the angelic realm was created basically to support and oversee the other diverse levels of creation and make sure that everything goes smoothly. The human part of creation, men were created to be co-created with God, because mankind, not only the mankind that exists here on planet Earth, but there are mankind in other planets in the universe, it was created to be a co-creator. But in what sense? Not a co-creator to be as God, but co-creator to produce, I would say, the material of what would expand creation and will bring more elements to life, You know, so God, in order to create, he limited himself and got the potentiality to his creation to propagate itself. But, and there was another element that was created on the, I would say, in the four higher levels of, I would say, the scale of creation, which was the Devic realm. Now, the Devic realm is a very interesting line of evolution, because they were supposed, at least on this case here on Earth, to interact actively with mankind, because the Devics, or the Devas, or the spirits of nature, or the spirits of elements, they have the secret of materializing what mankind thinks. So it was a time and history of mankind, forgotten in the sands of time, where men and devas worked together in order to integrate the power of creating thought forms and the power of manifestation of the elements to make something happen or make something come to fruition and manifest in the third degree. It is said that among all the others, justifications for the fall of Atlantis, like men used black magic, men used this, men did that, but what basically one of the things that mankind did in that time was to try to slave devas and try to slave to have benefit from them in order to create personal power and in order to control others, which was completely against the pure nature of those beings. They were not made. They were made based on the, what you call the vibration of service to others, never service to self. So you do have the idea of the genies, and it's like the tale of Aladdin is more or less this. Here's Aladdin, the human being that has three wishes. And he's, you know, the poor genie that's slaved inside of the bottle, you know, will be able to be free just if, you know, they can do three wishes and that's it. Or the only way to be free is if the human being will wish them free. Otherwise, he continues on his curse and will find another owner that he will fulfill the desires, but he will never be released. So when this disconnection happened, we as human beings, we lost an important ally because everything got destroyed. The devils, they're still here, but they kind of have a very different relationship with most of us. And you can see devils, or you know about their existence, because they're basically elemental. So when people say fairies, elves, gnomes, what do you call the other one, or mermaids, or things like that, salamanders, they are elementals.
No, they're...
Well, but the elementals, they have a different composition than we do. They are elemental, so they have one, they're composed by one element. Not as we know a three-dimensional fire, but as the fire in fifth dimension. How the fire would look, element fire in fifth dimension. The element water, but not water in three dimension. Water in fifth dimension. The same thing with the air. And that's the reason, you know, our eyes, not straightforward, can perceive their existence. But they're there. The fairies, a lot of people say, well, you know, this is, you know, tale, but actually it's not. They usually say one way to perceive that a place is filled with fairies is more flowers that a garden has, the biggest amount of fairies are around, but that's another conversation. So you do have the devas in different areas and in different, I would say, levels of consciousness, just like us. You know, the human beings are not all in the same level of consciousness. You still have people that have those strange beliefs, like, you know, we are different, or I don't know.
Or the earth is flat.
Yeah, or the earth is flat, or, you know, there is just my God, and, you know, your God is my God enemy, therefore I hate you. You know, those things.
The false beliefs.
Yeah, those false beliefs. So it's the same in the other realms. You know, you have, like, the regular angels and the line of evolution of angels, and you have the falling angels. You know, every single being conceived in this universe, on this part of the universe, and this manifestation, and this frequency, was allowed to have free will. Why they were allowed to have free will? Because they would be allowed to manifest the consciousness and trail the way back at their, you know, at their, I would say, level of comprehension or level of diligence or, you know, need to go back and integrate with Source. So this is one of the things. Now, you do have some places that you can find the devas. They usually they take over, or they encompass in their bodies a place, a tree, or I would say an entire park. You know, each park has their own deva that takes care of it, and usually it's a higher ranked deva because they can coordinate, you know, the fairies here, you know, the recycling of this. We will need some more birds, or we have threats here, let's take the birds away. You know, they keep the maintenance of the environment in various areas. A lot of people also can see the action of the devics, you know, beings, on through certain meteorological situations. For instance, a tornado. A tornado, of course, we're not talking here about the ones that are man-made. We're not talking about HAARP program here. We're talking about just the original blueprint of God. So when you have that, a devic can come and discharge the electromagnetic field that can be harmful not only for the beings that depend on maintenance but of creation and energy, but also in human beings that are in that area. So a tornado comes as to relieve this energy. In old tradition especially, Madame Blavatsky talks in her secret doctrine the effect of snow. The devas that, you know, sometimes you ask, oh my God, why we have this dump of snow? She says that the function, the masters say that the function of snow is it's a protection mantle for the dark side of the moon. The moon has a dark side which has, I would say, not so nice energy. You know, and that's the reason that we say that people there are going crazy, they're lunatics.
Or moonstruck.
Or something. But then snow in certain parts, you know, it will lay down a layer, a mantle of protection in the ground. So the, you know, Mother Earth will not be necessarily absorbing that energy, which could be essentially destructive to the beings that work, you know, towards the maintenance of the environment and, you know, the well-being and the greatest good of all. And that's the reason, and she justified this on one of her teachings, and that's one of the reasons that people in India, when they really want to meditate during days and days, they usually use a white turban around their head, is to isolate against any energy. This is not superstition.
Superstitions.
It's actually the alteration with the color white of the magnetic field that you will absorb and you will breathe in around your auric field. So those are those things. And who cares and who is the ones who are the block builders of this general maintenance are the devics. Now, you do have, you know, everybody says, well, you know, you have an angel of a country, an angel that's responsible for the country, the angel that's responsible for the karma of this state or for events that happen in states. They are responsible to a certain degree, and they work together with the devics, but they're not devics. the angels oversees the higher works of all beings getting together. The Devics are the ones that do the creative process to make and maintain all the levels of work and retransmission of energy in every single level of creation. Now, we human beings should be working with them on terms of we are co-creators. We were built, we were conceived, we were dreamed to be co-creators, and they would be our source of materialization, but we don't use them. Now, we don't use them or we don't cooperate with them. But the reason I'm telling this difference, because there actually are a different line of evolution, is because many cultures talk about the devas as being part of the angelic realm, and it's really not the case. They talk about the Dakinis, which are supposed to be, you know, spirits of nature that came to instruct you or came to give you a teaching, and they're not necessarily masters, but they come to deliver a teaching. In Indian tradition, and actually in the Buddhist too, they talk about the Dakinis as angels, but they're not. They are Devics. So we have three categories, different categories here. The line of evolution of humans, the line of evolution of the Devas, and the line of evolution of the angels. The Devics are, you know, very much on, you know, an expectation on how man is going to use the power of creation, but they really need us to elevate the vibration that we have as a whole in order to come back and really work with us in different levels. One of them is to stop the silliness of, you know, global warming. They can help us. They can help us to realign and really clean the level of pollution. You know, you have to understand the statement I was making here based on the fact, actually a saying of Einstein that says, you can never solve a problem with the same mentality that created, because you're going nowhere. You cannot expect to do the same thing and have a different result. So the way we're doing is clearly not working. And as we go and we progress in the spiritual path, we have to understand that this universe, and this universe, a manifested universe, I'm not even talking about the unmanifested or parallel universe, there's not one inch that's empty. There's not God, whatever, the energy of the Creator, the energy of the Divine Father, Mother, God, the I Am, all there is, hates vacuum. There's not one inch of the universe that's not populated by beings, multidimensional beings, in other line of evolution. Everybody, and that's the reason you say, I am one. You know, I am one with all. We may be different, but the basic energy that generates everything is the same source. Well, of course, you're going to say, well, what about the bad angels? You know, what about the bad devas? What about the demons? Are the demons and fallen angels the same thing? No. They're not.
There's actually a difference.
There's a very, you know, and I would like to talk about this, and we can go over on that.
That'll be one of the upcoming classes we have, is we're going to specifically angels and demons, because
which is not the book.
Which is not the book, but we'll cover that topic, and because there's a lot of information there, and for instance, a lot of people like to summon an angel to open a doorway to do a gateway. And what they don't realize is that for every angel, there's a corresponding demon, and you
because of duality and the balance.
Exactly. So you need to be prepared for that, and that's why we'll cover that in more detail in a future.
And that's
future
the reason we are talking today about devas, is because the next step after this attunement of Antares, you know, for the people that did all the attunements, we're going to be really starting to put our hands on work. So what we're going to teach you is how to open a vortex, how to close a vortex, how to have your own chi balls, how to remove local sanskara, which is residual energy that's not benefiting somebody. So we're going to start having not theoretical and energetic work done in your fifth dimensional body,
but practical application.
Practical application of stuff. And that's the reason when you open and closing the vortex, you need to work with not only angels, but devic entities, devic beings. The elementals are absolutely essential. They're not scary. They're just different.
They're just different. One of the concepts there is, and my background is engineering, and there's one of the concepts that is very important in defining forces and the like in the universe is something called a vector. It is force and it is direction, and that's how you make things happen. If you consider that we as co-creators, as humans, we are direction, the devic entities can be force. And when we work with the devic fields, as things were originally intended, that is when we can really make things happen.
And one interesting thing, it's like a funny thing. In Indian tradition, when a person have very bad luck, and they go to priests and they do offerings for gods and this and this, you know, they usually, the last thing they say to them, if you cannot revert the situation of luck, bad luck to good luck, they say, you got cursed by a deva. You know, and when you're cursed by a deva, oh boy, you know, you really have to make up to them. And how, you know, one asks, how can you be cursed by a deva? Another thing interesting about the devas is, like I said, they tend to the biggest devas, you know, I would say the more evolved devas. We don't have actually a classification like angels, archangels, and archeos, like we have in the angel evolution. But in devas, there are some devas that take care of places, like I said, parks or gardens or public gardens or public places. But there are devas, too, that take care of cemeteries or churches. And
specific location.
And this deva, you know, what they do is they absorb the energy that is vibrated there by the, you know, the builders of the thought forms, which is humans. So they can, sometimes when you make a contact with the deva there is in the cemetery, you feel like heavy. It's not because there is a spirit or a lost soul, but the deva itself is so heavy, and they need a human to help him get this energy out, the same way we need him to absorb and send it to another level, but they need instruction. So the devic, you know, kingdom and human kingdom, we're supposed to be working together since the time of Atlantis, and when the big destruction and everything else came about, the wipe off of the entire culture of how mankind was supposed to be, and how all our senses and our matrix template got shut down. You know, this identity and this cooperation between two kingdoms were completely lost. The same way we were supposed to be the caretakers of the animal kingdom. And look what we do. You know, we everything but caretakers. We eat our people. We eat the very people we're supposed to take care of. But, you know, that's another conversation.
For those who are wondering why we're discussing devas today as opposed to just angels, there is a structure, a celestial hierarchy, and the angels are one element of it. And we're trying to work up and lay up a groundwork and an understanding of the balance so that we can properly place, you know, angels and how we interact with them into context.
And it's like the same thing, just doing, you know, going back to the same point in the beginning. Why we were supposed to work in harmony with the Devic kingdom or the Devic realm. Mankind is, I would say, the positive polarity of creation, you know, the co-creators. And the Devic realm is supposed to be the negative polarity, the feminine polarity of co-creation. I'm not talking about male and female, negative as bad and positive as good. I'm talking about current, energetic current. And the angels on this, you know, the angel realm or the angel kingdom, it's a neutral one. It can function to help humans as a negative polarity when it's needed. And it can help the Devics as a positive polarity when it's needed. But basically, we had a fraction and a cooperation between two kingdoms that were supposed to evolve together. And this is something that really is hurting mankind. And when you look the way we treat Mother Nature, and all the Devics are basically, you know, inhabitants of every single element built by Mother Nature, you can see how much distance space and distance, I don't know how to say distance, we have from nature in itself and all of her beings. So this is basically the concept that we're just introducing. We will talk about this when we start on the structure to close, open, I wouldn't say stargates not now, but vortexes of energy and closed vortex of energy, and how to, let's say, close and protect a house or send in the distance or identify at a distance, you know, the, I would say, a Devic of one center or one place where the disaster happened, you know, and work with that Deva to calm down and take the you know, harmful energies that were there to start sending healing, to prepare the place. So all those will be practical techniques that you can use as a light worker, and then after this one, as a light warrior. Because, of course, if you're going to close a vortex, you don't ever know what's going to pop out of it. It's like opening a vortex is almost like playing with a Ouija board. You never know who's going to show up. You have no control of it. You know, it's like you rip the fabric of space-time. You know, you can't have anything popping in. So we're going to discuss this in details on techniques, and that basically was the reason we wanted to give a general idea and how the devas differ from the kingdom of the angels. Yes.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to do an empowerment for those who are participating, and for those that'll be down the road, we'll set that'll be listening to this later, we'll set this intention for also. We'll be doing Activating the Angels of the Heart.
Yeah, it's an empowerment, and what it will do is spice it up. I would say your channels and your internet, you know, your energetic nadis, to receive inspiration more clearly from your personal angels and from the angels that of other people that you're working with, not only to counseling but spiritual healing, physical healing, and improving your life in general.
So that the Activating the Angels of the Heart, this is the Angel of Love, the Angel of Wisdom, and the Angel of Power. It's a threefold flame meditation, and it was shared with us by Carol Ann Tessier, who has a wonderful...
Yes, she was my teacher. She was my teacher.
So what I would like everyone to do now, if you're in a noisy environment, you can hit the star 6, and that will mute yourself. And then what we'll do is after the meditation, we will we'll come back and we'll have a question and answer session and a roundtable discussion and continue on.
If people show alive,
but
I can kill them.
What I would like everyone to do right now is to get comfortable and breathe deeply. We recommend a 4x4 breathing exercise, which is you'll breathe in 4 counts, you'll hold 4 counts, breathe out 4 counts, hold 4 counts. And what I want you to do is to continue this cycle of breathing in 4 counts, holding 4 counts, breathing out 4 counts, holding 4 counts. And I'm going to walk us through the meditation. Concentrate on the words. Concentrate on your breathing. And feel the opening within you that will be the empowerment. Let us begin by surrounding the heart with the energy of God that is love, wisdom, and power. We ask that the Divine Mother be present, overlighting us with cascades of divine love energy. We want to ask that she harness the power of pure divine love on our left by sending one of her angels to stand guard at the left side of our body during this meditation. We ask that the Divine Father be present, overlighting us with cascades of divine power energy. We ask that he harness the energy of pure divine power on our right by sending one of his angels to stand guard at the right-hand side of our body during this meditation. We ask that Lord Melchizedek, the Grand Master himself, be present, overlighting us with the cascades of sacred wisdom energy represented from all of the sacred traditions of the orders of the Melchizedek. We ask that he harness the pure, divine, sacred wisdom from a point above our bodies at our crown chakras by sending one of his angels to stand guard above us during this meditation. We ask that Lord Sananda be present, overlighting us with pure cascades of divine integrated Christ energy. We ask that he harness this pure divine integrated Christic energy by sending one of his angels to stand guard directly in front of the heart during this meditation. We ask that Mother Earth be present, overlighting us with cascades of her divine nature and her threefold flame within her heart. We ask that she harness this pure divine peace energy into our open feet chakras and send the current of her heart energy up through those chakras into our hearts during this meditation. Breathe in the light of the Divine Mother into the heart. Connect with her threefold flame of love, wisdom, and power. Breathe in the light of the Divine Father into the heart. Connect with his threefold flame of love, wisdom, and power. Breathe in the light of Melchizedek into the heart. Connect with his threefold flame of love, wisdom, and power. Breathe in the light of Sananda into the heart. Connect with his threefold flame of love, wisdom, and power. Breathe in the light of Mother Earth into the heart. Connect with her threefold flame of love, wisdom, and power. Let us connect now to the beloved Lord Buddha and to the threefold flame within the heart of Lord Buddha and the heart of Shambhala, the everlasting flame held in the etheric temple that is the seat of government for this planet. We call forth to the I Am Present, which is connected into each of our threefold flames within our hearts, and ask for blessings and outpourings of light from the heart of the Presence. In Melchizedek's universe, there is full intelligence. There is divine intelligence presiding over everything in all worlds. Within each of us, there is a Devic Presence overlighting every organ, gland, chakra, cell, and system of our bodies. And within the heart, there is not only a Deva overlighting the heart and circulatory system of the physical body, but there is an angel overlighting the threefold flame within our heart. We call forth the beloved Lord Sananda to bless and activate now the three angels of the heart. Within our hearts is the threefold flame that is the same as the threefold flame at Shambhala. For this activation, go deeply now within the heart. Know that there is a replica of the heart of God, and therefore contains an infinite number of chambers. It is infinite, as is the heart of God. Go into a chamber that you can access now, knowing that there are many more that you will access later. We ask Lord Sananda to activate the angel of love within the heart. The flame is the color of pink, and the angel is the color of pink. We ask Lord Sananda to activate the angel of wisdom within the heart. The flame is the color of gold, and the angel is the color of gold. We ask Lord Sananda to activate the angel of power within the heart. The flame is the color blue, and the angel is of the color blue. We call forth to the gold-white ascension energies, the energies, frequencies, and colors of the planetary waves of ascension, and the energies, frequencies, and colors of the 12 rays of creation, and we ask these energies to come in and ignite the threefold flame within our heart in order to raise our vibratory rates. We call forth to Lord Metatron to infuse the threefold flame within our heart with the frequency and color of the platinum ray. Feel the touch of platinum joining with the pink, with the gold, and with the blue. We call forth to the Mahatma and ask to infuse the threefold flame within our hearts with the frequency and color of the rainbow white light of synthesis. Feel the touch of the rainbow white joining with the pink, with the gold, and with the blue. We call forth to the Divine Mother and ask for the silvery platinum pink of her frequency and color to join with the pink, with the gold, and with the blue. We call forth to the Divine Father and ask for the platinum blue gold, his frequency and color, to join with the pink, with the gold, and with the blue. We call forth from the Divine Mother and ask to come into full resonance with her threefold flame. We call forth now to God and ask with all our heart and soul and mind and might that if this be in prayer in harmony with your will, we ask that you supply this heart, which is really your heart, with an activation from your clear creative light of all that is, directly as a current of the love of God wisdom of God and the power of God directly into our hearts for an explosion into the threefold flame within the heart. We ask that this heart illumination, so that we might let go of all discordant feelings, all feelings of division, separation, judgment, pain, sadness, and suffering. Everything and anything that keeps us from keeps us feeling separate from you. We ask this so that we can unconditionally love you, love your creation, love the masters and angels, love our planet, and love ourselves even more, and with this love, set our hearts free forevermore. And so it is. Amen. And now I would like each of us to come back to ourselves, back to our conscious, breathing a little less deeply, letting our consciousness rise back to where we can talk and connect and share. So take a deep breath and then let it go and come fully awake and join us in the now.